Father, we thank you for this time of worship this morning. Father, we thank you for remembering us. And Father, as we, this past week, have celebrated the freedom that you have given each one of us in this country, you have given us so much more of freedom in our lives. It comes from your Son that you gave to each of us so lovingly. Father, for your grace and mercy, we thank you. Father, we do humble ourselves before you today. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to worship. And Father, I just pray that as we continue worshiping through your word today, that you will challenge us, that you will guide us, and that you will bless us. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As several weeks ago, Randy and I were talking, and we realized that he decided to go on a challenging walk this week. I've always said Randy has had this need to fulfill his young manhood. Some of the things, I'm even surprised that he's still alive, Miss Judy, because of some of the things. And you know, he's a great storyteller. And if half of what he has told us in stories are true to what he has done as a teenager and young adult, it's amazing that he's still here. We do continue praying for Randy and Andrew and a couple of the other guys, Lanny and Alan, as they are taking that hike out in California. You know, Thursday and Friday when the two earthquakes hit, I text Andrew and said, "Did you feel it?" And he says, "Nope, we're already north of that. We didn't feel a thing." So anyway, Randy texted me this morning and said that he was praying for us, praying for me. I said, "You really need to pray for the congregation more than me." But as I was getting ready, you know, Randy said, we looked at the schedule, and we had the Lord's Supper, you know, planned for today, and Randy says, "Well, maybe we ought to change that." I said, "Don't. Leave the Lord's Supper. We will celebrate the Lord's Supper, because that may give us a little bit more time in our service." Most of you know that this is not the ministry God has called me to. God has called me and gifted me in other areas of ministry. And even though I've done Wednesday nights, and when we used to do Sunday nights, I've done Sunday nights, and I have a couple Bible studies that I do, being up here, and I've done weddings and funerals, but being up here on a Sunday morning is not the most comfortable thing for me to do. I thought, how do I preach on Sunday morning? Well, one of my favorite preachers is Andy Stanley. This is how Andy preaches. He can sit on a stool and he just, you know, spreads the Lord's word out. And I'm going, "Eh." I mean, even though if you come to my Wednesday Bible study, I'm usually like this. And my seniors, they know that this is how I do. But I said, "No, I don't think I can do that. I'm not one that's going to run up and down the aisle either." In fact, what you're going to see me do is probably like some of my funeral sermons and my weddings. I'm right here behind the pulpit. I have my notes right here. It's a typical three-point sermons that have 3 points, okay? That's what you're going to get today. But with the 4th of July and with the Lord's Supper, and Joel, thank you, and the choir, thank you for singing the song in remembrance. Back in the late 70s, early 80s, musical Celebrate Life came out, and this was a song that was in Celebrate Life. And I asked Joel if he and the choir would do that today. And I know during the 90s, every time there was Lord's Supper, that song was sung. But I am thankful that you all sung that song. It brings back great memories of when I first started out in ministry, and we would, you know, we did that musical. And I thank you for that, Joel. This past Thursday, we celebrated Independence Day. We celebrated the freedom that this country gives to us. This morning, I want to carry that forward, and the video that we saw really tied into what I want to talk about in the freedom of Christ. You know, Thursday, we had picnics and barbecues. We had parades, concerts, fireworks, all to make a special day. You know, they had this great big celebration up in Washington, D.C., and you saw crowds of people there celebrating the freedom that we have here in the United States. I am so thankful that God has allowed me to live during this time. You know, I'm a product of the 50s and 60s, and so there was still that time of remembering World War II and the great victories. And we were so thankful for the freedom that we had. You know, back 243 years ago, there was a group of men that wrote the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. After we declared our independence and fought the Revolutionary War, we became a country. And one of the first things that Congress did was to establish the Ten Commandments. I think that was a little before them. But anyway, the Ten Amendments. And the first one, let me read that to you. Congress shall make no laws respecting the establishment of religion or prohibit it, the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of people to peacefully to assemble, to petition the government for a redress of grievances. There's four great freedoms that were mentioned here in this amendment. They are the freedom to speak, the freedom to print, the freedom to assemble, and the freedom to worship. I am thankful that we get to gather here today to worship our Lord and Savior. We are able to come and thank Him for what He's done in our lives. We are able to come and worship without any worries of anybody coming in here and shutting us down. We are so blessed. But I want us to just take a couple moments to remember some additional freedoms that we have in place because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. The first one is the freedom from the lie. John 8:32 tells us, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free." There's two forces at work in this world today. The first one is the truth. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus told Thomas in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." We do not come to the throne of God except through Christ. And Christ tells us this is the truth. This is the only way that we can get to heaven. The lie, Satan, according to John 8:44, "You are your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and has not stood in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature, because he is a liar and the father of lies." When we receive Christ as our Savior, as revealed to us in the Word of God, we then know the truth. Without Christ in our life, we remain in bondage to Satan, who is the father of all lies. This week has been a struggle for me as I have prepared. I'm the only one here this week. Joel was celebrating a family member getting married this past week, a week ago, and then they had vacation time. Randy and Andrew are gone, and you know, again, I said, you know, this is not the thing that God has called me to. And so I need all the help I can get. Well, with all them gone, I'm handling all the other stuff. And then for some reason, I didn't know that I had ADHD. Man, it kicked in full time this week. If there was a time I would sit down at my desk to be, you know, working on this, Satan would throw up some kind of activity or something in my mind I had to go check on, whether it was run to the hospital, and it was all important stuff, okay? But, you know, I'd get sitting, and then all of a sudden I'd have to get up and walk around. I mean, I didn't think I was ever going to be able to put this together. And even as of last evening, I fall asleep, and man, something woke me up. And all through my mind, you can't do this today. You don't have anything to say. And I said, yeah, you're right. I don't, but the Lord does. But it kept, I mean, until 2:30 this morning, I just tossed and turned. And I fell asleep, and then I dreamed something bad was going to happen. I tell you what my dream is, or was. I'm out here, and I see this big shadow coming across here. And it turns out to be an airplane that circles around and crashes out here. Now, at 2:30 in the morning, when you're trying to sleep so you can, you know, be able to do something today and be able to share God's word, you know, Satan was just working on me last night. And I am so thankful, because I know a lot of you all know that this isn't where my comfort zone is, that you've been praying for me. And I had one dear friend say, Alan, I don't know what it was, but God woke me up at 2:00 in the morning to pray for you. Amazing. Our God is amazing. But it's because Satan is a liar. He doesn't want us to be able to come into this building and talk about God and spread God's word. You know, he doesn't want us to live in a free country that allows us the freedom to gather, to praise God and to worship. You know, I told myself I don't want to get political in this sermon because of the thing, but it's the truth. We do have the opportunity, and we need to continue lifting up this nation, as Joel shared earlier, to God, because we are, little bit by little bit, seeing our freedoms disappear. But one thing that Satan and the outside world cannot do is to take away our salvation from the Lord Jesus Christ. They cannot take the Word of God away. They can take this Bible, but we are told to put the... Whoops, I forgot I have a lapel mic. Sorry, Randall. You know, we are to put the Word of God in our heart. They cannot take the Word of God from us. You know, knowledge of the truth, the Word of God, protects us. It's been said that when a new treasury agent comes to work for the Treasury Department, especially the counterfeit area, they spend most of their time studying actual bills. They don't spend time looking at the bad bills, the counterfeit bills. They spend time studying and getting to know the current currency so well that, because they know it so well, they can spot the phony bills. You know, the more you and I spend in God's Word and come to know the real thing of Christ, the easier it is for you and I to discern the phoniness of this sinful world. The more we know the truth of Jesus Christ, the less likely we are to be deceived. We need to spend time in God's Word daily. We need to come together at Bible study times or small group times. We need to make public congregational worship a priority in our life. So not only do we have the freedom of truth, but we also have the freedom from sin. That doesn't mean that we don't or we won't ever sin, because we have a sinful nature. In fact, we're told that we have all sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. But having freedom of sin, it does mean that we do not have to be a captive to sin. We are free from the guilt of sin. Romans 8:1 says, "Therefore, no condemnation now exists for those in Jesus Christ." When we confess Christ as our Savior and we ask for forgiveness of our sins because of what Christ did for us, we have no condemnation. We are free from the consequences of sin. Sin is a separation from God. In Romans 8, 33 and 34, "Who can bring an accusation against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died. But even more, he has been risen. He also is at the right hand of God, and he intercedes for us." Even though we have a sinful nature, those of us who have professed Christ as our Savior, we have him sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for us. We are free from the power and the control of sin. Romans 6, 16 through 18, "Don't you know that if you offer yourself to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, either of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But thank God that although you used to be slaves to sin, you obeyed from the heart that pattern of teaching you were transferred to, and having been liberated from sin, you became enslaved to righteousness." When we accept Christ as our Savior, we are no longer burdened by the control of sin. We are forgiven. We are now under the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The third and final freedom is the freedom from death. Not physical death, because as in Hebrews 9:27 says, "And just as it is appointed for people to die once, and after this, judgment." Someone has said that all of us will die if we live long enough. Even the oldest man in recorded history, Methuselah, who was 969 years old. I can't even imagine being 969 years old. I'm just thankful I made it to 65 years old. But even at 969 years old, you're going to think, well, I'm going to live forever. He died. We are going to experience physical death. Some have been taken way early in life. Some live to a ripe old age, as Methuselah. We are going to die. But that is not the end of it. We have the freedom because of Christ from spiritual death. Romans 6, 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You know, the Bible talks about this second death. It's a separation from God. See, but it's just not a separation. It's an eternal separation. And it's from God in the lake of fire. Revelations 21:8 says, but the cowards, unbelievers, vile, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their share will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. If we do not profess Christ as our Savior, we will have that eternal death in hell. It's be an endless time of torture and torment. But you and I that have given our life to Christ, we are separated. We have that freedom from that eternal death. So how can we attain these freedom? Five things. Come to Christ for salvation. The truth will set us free. If you are not saved, if you've not experienced the grace that God has given you, I pray today will be that day that Christ comes into your heart and helps you realize that beyond this world, there is no hope. And without Christ, there is no eternal hope. Second thing, free from the lies of the devil, free from the power of sin, free from the second death is what we get through Christ. As Americans, we were born in freedom by being born in this wonderful country. But in much the same manner, we must be born again in Jesus Christ to enjoy the freedoms that come only through Him. You and I cannot experience the gift that God gives us unless we experience Christ as our Savior. Jesus told Nicodemus, "Marvel not that I said unto you that you must be born again." I challenge you today that if you have not received Christ, that you will do that. In a moment, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Will you join me in prayer? And as we pray, I'm going to ask the deacons to come forward as we prepare for the Lord's Supper. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. Father, I just pray that if there is anyone this morning that has not come to celebrate the gift and the grace that you've given to us, that they will make that decision later in the service today. Father, as we come to this table, we are reminded of what you have done for us. Father, we thank you for allowing your Son to come and die on the cross and shed his blood for us. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray.